Welcome to the Dare to Scale show with me, Varsha.
And me, Evan.
So what is Dare to Scale? Over the years that we've been coaching founders and business owners, much like yourselves, we work through a framework called Dare to Scale.
Dare to Scale, indeed. That framework has helped loads of business owners, and that is what this show is all about. So, put on your big picture thinking hat.
Oh, and your headphones. And come join us and enjoy the ride. Hello, guys. So wonderful to see you back here. Today, we are in the next installment of our Master Spotlight. And today, we are talking to Jatin Sachdeva. Jatin is the founder and CEO of Opure. Jatin, so good to have you here on the show. Thank you for taking the time.
It's my pleasure. So nice to be here.
Welcome, Jatin. Really good to have you on.
Thank you. Great to be here.
So, Jatin, we've known each other for a little while. Tell us a little bit about, you know, your story. What got you into entrepreneurship in the first place?
Okay, so basically, it's a very interesting journey. I started getting interested in doing something of my own immediately after college. That was just an interest, although I got busy in studying my master's after that and then got busy in corporate life. It took me a full circle of about 17, 18 years of corporate life. Then I said, okay, enough is enough. I need to do something of my own. And I started looking into entrepreneurship. It took another 4 or 5 years by the time I could take the step and say, okay, this is the end of my corporate life and I'm going to be completely evolved as an entrepreneur, come what may. And it happened very interestingly. It's something that we created along the way. There are things that opportunities that came to me. I was very lucky for getting different kinds of opportunities. I was very fortunate to get a very interesting experience in corporate life, which opened my eyes quite a bit, helped me expand my horizon of understanding of how things work in business, outside business. And, you know, the kind of various kinds of trainings that I got in corporate and in my business development processes actually all culminated towards a scenario of, you know, building me up towards how I can grow the business. So that's how it came about. And if I put a time, you know, towards the last part of my career, I had a situation where I set up a business and had a team running it while I was in my corporate life. And at some point in time, I realized that if I am not in the game, if my skin is not 100% in the game, the business is not going to move forward. And that's when I clicked that I cannot hope that the business will do while I'm working in my corporate life. And that is when I said, okay, this is it. I'm moving into entrepreneurship completely. So this happened 6 years back now.
Wow, that's amazing. Absolutely amazing. A lot of entrepreneurs do come from the corporate world. I'm obviously one of them as well. Mm-hmm. And there's others who just don't belong there like Warsaw, but we'll get to that one at another time.
Yes.
Just out of interest, when you made that decision, what was the one thing that you found you had to unlearn and then relearn something else?
Two things which are actually there. One is you have to let go of that security of a job, especially the paycheck security at the end of the month, because that's dependent on how you perform in business. That's not dependent on the date of the month. That's the first thing which I looked into. And that took me a while to get over this fact as to expecting that security, because you actually, in a business, you create your own security. So that's where which I learned one. The second thing is also, there was no limitations as an entrepreneur. We're setting up our own limitations about how we can, what we can do, how well we can do, and where do we want to be placing ourselves in the market, more importantly. So that's the two things which I realized. And these were very interesting learnings for me. In fact, about a year and a half into my role as an entrepreneur, I kept asking myself, do I need to go back into the job? And for the first few months, I still had a doubt, should I go back? And at some point of time, it completely flipped. I said, I will never go back to a job. So that's something which I was looking at. And, you know, that confidence and that, more importantly, that comfort, the calmness of being there, that you are an entrepreneur, period, accepted, happened about 1.5, 2 years into the entrepreneurship, not just immediately it happened. And it took a while. But once it's done, tomorrow I know it's, you know, even if you get something, you said, okay, I don't mind. I will start something, but I will be an entrepreneur all my life.
And I mean, that's incredible. And what you're saying, at least what I'm hearing in the unsaid, is you're not afraid to start again.
Of course.
And that is such a powerful mindset. I feel, I mean, Warsaw has that. And when I was in the corporate world, I didn't fully get that, even though my own parents were entrepreneurs and business owners. But when you're actually walking the walk yourself, it really is quite so powerful.
It is. I mean, the comfort is very different.
So with that learning, tell me a little bit more about AU Pure or Pure itself in terms of the niche and the industry you're in. What led you to that?
So when we started, when I took over the business, you know, leaving the corporate life and taking over what we started initially, we wanted to be something which we can plug a gap, which can help people and which can help the corporates as well. I mean, the corporates as an industry as well. So when we started, we found a gap that there is a lot of passive smoking happening in this region. And there was no solution to help people, you know, avoid the impact of that whenever they're going out to a nightclub, they're going out to a bar, they're going out to a shisha cafe. Anywhere they're going out, there is no solution where you can avoid any passive smoking. When people are smoking, it's fine. It's their choice. And it is a shisha culture region. That's fine. So we wanted to find a solution. And we went out in the market, tried to look for something, literally did not get anything or anybody who's providing it. So we said, okay, we had some products. I still have kept my first improvisation of a product. It's a small, you know, 4-inch by 4-inch by 12-inch fan system that I created to improve the airflow. And from there, we started. I said, okay, let's do something. And we knocked doors for about 3 months every night from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. because, you know, nightclubs used to work that time, to knock the doors and say, hey, we have something which you want to try. What do you want to try? What do you want to try? And at the end of about three and a half months, we got our first project. And we were super elated. And then obviously, it was a very simple place, very, you know, starting level bar, if you want to call it. And the confidence that we got gave me, you know, it was so much of happiness and confidence that I could talk. And then we were able to crack the fine dining industry, the star-rated hotels and stuff. So that's how our journey started. But we actually found one gap in the market. And we said, okay, nobody has it. Can we create something? And it was more from a people's suffering perspective, not that, you know, technically I had a product ready by that time. We didn't have anything ready. We ended up creating as a response.
Wow. I mean, it totally inspiring. And especially in the current sort of space that we're living in, air quality is incredibly important.
It is.
And I'm sure more and more people are taking it seriously. Mm-hmm. Just something struck me. The AU in AU Pure, What does that stand for?
So it's AU. AU means the, and there is a second meaning to AU. In chemistry, AU means aurum or gold. So it's pure as gold.
Fantastic. I remember you telling me that. I just wanted the listeners to actually get that.
Sure.
Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, thanks.
So as a courageous leader, because you're doing some amazing things in the air quality space, mm-hmm. What's the one big thing that you've ended up disrupting in your industry?
We have created a model of integrating technologies, right? And in terms of the technologies that we're looking at, there are not many that we have found which are integrating competing technologies. So in air quality, a lot of companies are claiming to be air quality solution providers. Having said that, it has to be either supplementing technologies or complementing technologies which have to work. And of course, it has to be complementing technologies. And we bring in that expertise for a particular project or for a particular requirement or for a particular industry application, where we say this set of technologies can work and give you the solution that you're looking at, not that you want to pick up one and assume that it will work for the other requirements of yours. Assume, you know, one technology and suffice it for the other requirements. This is the biggest thing we have done. We have become an integrator of solutions or integrator of technologies instead of just being a seller of one technology or two technologies. So this is where we bring in the expertise. We're being technology neutral in that sense, and also making sure that our customers get what they're expecting as the outcome. So our sales is not about a product. Our sales is about what you're looking as an outcome. That's how we approach our customers.
I'm so glad that we are recording this podcast, because Jatin, we've known each other for a long time now.
Yes.
And it's throughout our various discussions on the business, in the mastermind, and every single avenue that we continue to talk about work and business. This is the first time that I'm actually completely focusing on that message. And this is resonating so beautifully with me. Thank you for sharing. This has been fabulous so far. Continuing on with the disruption, and you know, in the master spotlight, it's almost become that 4D framework, if you will. I want to ask you, disruption is a word that is used very often now and in varied sort of segments. But what does disruption even mean to you?
I never thought that this will be disruption, but what I What I did was take some courageous decisions to go to the market and say, I want to do things differently. And what we did was we took in certain technologies which were being used either completely exclusively or not being used in the air quality space, and we brought it into the air quality space. That's two kinds of solutions we have created in the market, where when we went to the customers, they said it cannot be possible. And I said, hey, we have already done it. And here is the proof of it. Here, you want to try it out. So that was the biggest difference that we created in the market, is that we were not limiting ourselves by the guiding structure or the current practices in the market of, okay, ABC technologies, may it be, you know, ionization or UV or any of the oxidation technologies or any of the filtration technologies that we know in the market. So as per the standard practice in the, you know, the engineering circles in the market or the consulting circles, people have generally done a lot of copy-paste of solutions. And we said, why? We've started questioning a lot of these things as to why this is being done. And more importantly, when we said that, we said, okay, why can't we look at this option? So I was fortunate enough to travel quite a bit into learning these technologies. And I also went a little lateral in taking technology inputs from other manufacturing sectors as well and see how I can apply in air quality space. And we came up with solutions which was generally not, people didn't think was possible. So we created solutions. This is why we are known as integrators of solutions, integrators of technologies, not just sellers of technologies. So that's something we created very, very differently in the market.
Oh, wonderful. So good. And somewhere over there, you actually hinted and touched upon our next step in that direction towards the 4D framework is discerning. You actually talked about taking that decision to be discerning. So how did you do that? What did you specifically pick to say, this is what we're saying yes to, and that is what we're saying no to, and bring in that focus in what you do today?
It's a very interesting question that you're asking, because I was very fortunate to quickly catapult into the premium end of B2B sectors that I was working with, you know, when we started, because we found the customers in that level where who valued the, you know, importance of providing the safer and the right indoor environment for their customers, their visitors, their occupants, and more importantly, who understood what we are trying to do differently from a disruption perspective and differently from a value perspective. So that's where we have been very, very fortunate to work at a very different segment. You know, as a startup, is generally a very organic growth to reach to the premium segment. We are doing the other way around. We got shot straight into the premium segment, and now we are looking at the next segment to grow into. So that's something which we have looked into. Our approach is always the fact that we look at customers to understand whether they're focusing on providing the right solution for their customers, and we're just helping them achieve that. That's our focus all the time.
That's fantastic. Tell us a little bit more about how did you even get to that customer you were talking about? How did you even identify who is that customer?
So initially it was, you know, it was a natural phenomenon actually for that matter. Or I would say things happened for us because I think we were doing the right things. Initially, we didn't realize that we are being, approached by the right people. Because we were doing certain things very differently in the market. We were actually creating the differentiation by being integrators than by just sellers, which nobody was there 6 years back in the market. So it was a very fresh approach and people liked the approach we had. It actually was very interesting because my corporate life has been very different from the industry that I am in, which allowed me to have a look at it from a very different perspective, which, you know, if you're groomed into, you know, a certain type of industry, then you may not be able to think outside that. And I was a complete outsider to the industry. So I would question every damn thing, right? And I'd say, okay, why are you doing it this way? Or why are you doing it that way? And why can't we do it, you know, the third way? And then they would look up and listen. So that helped me a lot. And those kind of customers who would look up and listen are actually the people who have also done something in their sector to be different and discerning. And we found those customers. And then we said, okay, why are we successful? What kind of customers we are working with? And then we found that definition.
Oh, very nice. So what you're really saying, Jatin, here is you were questioning the status quo.
Yes.
Because you haven't actually said these words, and yet everything that you've said so far is about questioning status quo. Why are we doing something like this? Why are we not doing something the other way?
Right.
Why can we not find a third way to do it? So where does that come from?
Recently, I was reading something about, as entrepreneurs, most of the entrepreneurs are curious bunch of people. right? So they keep checking out things. And I think this is something which I can happily say that I always looked at things to see if I can do, even if it's 1% or 5% or 10% better, whatever it is. So generally, there is a correlation when I look at something and said, okay, you know, something in my memory says, okay, there was one solution that you were doing. Can I apply this solution there? And that has helped a lot in terms of cross-connection or connecting the dots, if you want to call it. More importantly, what happened was that since for me, it was a completely green field from a learning perspective, I learned everything from a practical perspective. So there's a very big difference between when you learn in college or school and when you do it practically. And since I was good long 15, 20 years into corporate, and then I started this, I was looking at it everything from an implementation and practical perspective. And for me, it was like, I don't care what the theory says. It has to work, right? And can I make it work in XYZ format than just following the ABCDs of what industry has taught you? So that's where I kind of naturally occurred that I can question. Obviously, there is a lot of times when people said, you know, are you crazy? And I was happy being called that way because customers said, no, we have always done this way. I said, yes, you've done this way, but is it a better way? Can we do? Or can we look into it? And this is where we found our customers who are willing to listen. You know, we're happy to work with them and we generally partner with them now.
Most people who have gone and changed the world that we live in have been called crazy at some point or the other. So brilliant. Thank you for talking about this because there are so many entrepreneurs out there who are thinking, am I the only crazy person who sees this? Because I seem to be swimming against the tide. And what you just said has completely validated that being crazy is not all bad. It's actually a great thing to be crazy, which basically means you're seeing something that a lot of others around you are not seeing. You're seeing an opportunity. You're seeing something that is non-existent for people. And you see something that can turn into, the purest form of gold.
I totally agree to what you're saying. Half the time, I have also checked myself, am I too crazy or what? So it's not easy for me to accept it initially. But I think that also journey has gone through where, you know, might as well just accept you're crazy and do things the way you want to do it.
Look, absolutely got to be quite blunt here. The only thing I can see is you with a flux capacitor making that DeLorean get to 88 very, very quickly. It's just wonderful to hear this other side. Like what you're sort of saying, we've known each other for quite some time now. And that there's elements of your story that I've just never heard before. And I'm totally loving it. Absolutely, totally loving it.
Thank you.
Sort of everywhere along your journey, there's been a whole bunch of decisions and sticking with them.
True.
So, you know, in terms of that, what's the best decision you think you've made? Let's just start there.
There are a few, actually, but I'll try to see how I can remember those. The couple of decisions which I was ready to stick to was, first of all, I had this confidence that this is the industry, which not only from a business perspective is growth industry for us. More importantly, this is the industry where I want to give back and help people, you know, because one of the biggest thing that we're looking at is the safety of people when they're indoor environments, because we are spending 90-95% of our time indoors and we are not yet ready to accept the fact that we can do something about our environment. Not just, you know, we're only talking about climatic environment, but a lot of it starts inside the house, inside the four walls. And if we can take care of that, we will impact everything outside as well. So one of the things that we are looking at, and it has been a recent thing that has come up, is based on out of the pandemic, everybody has suffered. I mean, I don't think there's anybody who's untouched by it in this environment. And we have seen so many people suffer. Some people have gained out of it, but more importantly, everybody overall has suffered. And what can we do for them? That decision of this is where I want to spend my time with is to provide better indoor environments, safer environments for people. And we will continue to evolve as a company, continue to look at a situation where how can we help people find solutions to be safer indoors is something we are committing ourselves to now more and more. So that was a decision we took, you know, a while back, whether this is the industry you want to be. That decision was taken a while back. But where am I growing into is something which I'm, you know, it's not just the air quality anymore. We're looking at the overall indoor environment. And we are expanding our solutions to offer this to our customers and to any occupant for that matter. And that's something which we are committing ourselves to, yeah.
Oh, very nice. So, Jatin, today, most of our listeners are entrepreneurs. Most of our listeners are established entrepreneurs. A lot of our listeners are budding entrepreneurs. What would you say to them in that point where either they feel they're completely gone bonkers, they're crazy, or people are saying, you are swimming against the tide. What are you doing? Stop for a minute. Or even worse, go get a job, which I don't think it's going to happen ever. At the same time, what is it that you would say from your experience?
First of all, welcome to the Crazy Club. So, which I didn't know I'm a member myself. So that helped a lot because I realized I found some crazy bunch thanks to you as well and met a lot of mastermind people. So I realized I'm not the only one as well. So that was very helpful. So I can assure that, you know, everywhere you will find some crazy people around the world and we are one of them. So that's the first thing. The second thing we realized is, and this has happened to me personally as well, is that you continue doing the business. And at some point of time, you hit upon saying, yes, this is what I was working it for. There's a lot of times you connect the dots back instead of looking forward and you realize this is what you've been building up to. And a lot of times we are able to make sense only when we connect the dots, not when we try to chart a path upfront and try to walk that path, because that is never a straight line. So that's something which I've realized, that continue doing what you're doing if you feel it right, and you will find your path and you'll connect your dots.
And you've said something really important there, and that's about the path ahead.
Yeah.
So where do you see your path ahead?
So now we are looking at what we want to deliver. How it's going to happen is the executional part of it, more importantly. You know, so over the last 6 years that we've been in the business, we have identified that we want to find the solution that we want to offer. Path gets clarified along the way. More important, of course, we have to take the right decisions, take the right steps. But the starting with what do you want to achieve is more important than how you want to achieve. And that helps a lot. So we have identified, of course, for our business, what is it that we want to deliver? Not from a product perspective, but from an outcome perspective as to this is what we want to offer to our clients and to the end consumer. And how do we reach there is the next step. So that prioritization, or which comes first, it used to be in a job was, okay, how do you want to do it? And where do you want to reach is in that sequence. Here it is, what? First of all, why, and then what, and then how comes later. So that's where the sequencing changes happens as an entrepreneur.
Totally love it. So it's the sequencing. And are there any industries that run parallel to yours that maybe you could look at? Is there any other niche that would actually complement where you are?
So there is a lot of technologies which are working to provide, you know, environment safety, environment quality that we're looking at. But very few have actually come up and said, okay, taken the bold decision of working with competition for that matter. And this is where we have been very bold in telling there are principal partnerships that we have who fight in the markets outside Middle East directly. And I told them I'll be working with both of you and both of your products in my solutions. And, you know, take it or leave it, this is what I'm going to do. So we literally went very bold with them and said, you know, you guys can fight outside. They said, we'll never talk to your customers. They will not talk to the other customers. I said, guys, I'm taking both the solutions going to my customer. And this is what we did very, very differently and, you know, said, okay, this is how we're going to take it forward. So this is where we are saying, okay, we don't want to limit ourselves in terms of our technology solutions or in terms of our partnerships. We've been very clear about it. And that has helped us a lot.
It takes a great deal of courage to say something like that to the big players in the market.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
So well done for even taking that stand.
Initially, we obviously, you know, it's hard for them to buy into this concept, but then they also realize the value of it. Thank God they've seen the value of it as well. So yeah, it's good.
Justin, tell us a little bit about something outside of the business. What do you like to do in your spare time?
Interestingly, one of the things which I like to do is stand behind the bar. I would love to host parties. I would love to host guests at my place. Yeah. And I want to make sure that they enjoy being with us. So that's something, one of the things which I like to do. Apart from that, I love to play. That's about it. But this is my most important thing. Anything that I want to do, I want to make sure that I can do better. That's about it.
Certainly love it. Because these days, everybody's missing things like movies and all those sort of things. Even standing behind the bar, it's a kind of a, it's like the sound of one hand clapping at the moment, you know, you behind the bar. It's like, where are all the guests, you know?
Yeah.
But it was so funny. The other night we were out and we came across two people and it's like, oh, I know you, they said. And we're thinking, where was that? And it turned out to be a Christmas party we'd had 2 years back, you know, the last time we actually had one of those. It was just really
right.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So you talked a little bit about sort of what next, what you like to do in your spare time. when you can travel, where's the next holiday destination?
Now I want to go back to the jungle. Been enough of corporate life and, you know, big buildings and stuff. I want to go back to the jungle. Just want to go connect to the nature, because, you know, one of the things that business has taught me is at some point in time, you need to connect back to your roots. So that's what my holiday is. Either I go either to the jungle or also see the Northern Lights, one of the two. So that's what I'd like to go.
Which jungle? Tell us more. Paint that picture for our listeners. Because believe me, there are people out there, they're all wanting that picture to be real. So help us paint that picture for them.
I want to go to Peru, South of America. I just want to go to those tall trees, the Amazon forest, and, you know, just explore that place. There's so many hidden treasures there. I've been reading about it. I've been listening about it. I've been watching about it. And there are so many hidden treasures there. And I'm sure if I go there, I'll probably learn some things and pick some things out of it, which I can bring back. But, you know, there is a lot that nature can teach us. And, you know, earlier before the call, we were discussing about things are much more simpler than they look. I guess I will be able to connect to that much more if I go back to that place and just explore that jungle, you know, because it's not just the trees. It's many, many millions of other things that you get to see there. You get to meet the people. You get to meet the people inside the jungles. You get to see the other creatures. It's just crazy. It's just, you know, it's like a newborn child trying to learn everything. Is what I want to be there.
And the other side of the spectrum, why Northern Lights?
Oh, that always gives you the feeling of starting something new. So that's something which is quite awe-inspiring as well. And there are phenomena in the world which we have not yet explored. In fact, I always keep collecting the bucket list of the phenomena that I want to always see, right? So.
Oh, wonderful. How nice.
Yeah, so nature has so much to offer.
That is absolutely brilliant. When you do go looking for those Northern Lights, where would you go?
Norway, most likely.
Nice. Yeah. Very nice.
That's on our to-do list as well, and maybe Iceland. I mean, as you know, we're very, very fond of Alaska and Fairbanks.
Well, that is a wonderful place. I loved it when I went there as well. So it's beautiful. Yeah. Love it. Yeah.
I mean, it's quite interesting. This time of the year is, well, the season's just passed, but sort of this time of the year is very powerful. And just with the groups we're connected with, it's like, well, why is this happening now when we're not there? Seriously? what is with this?
Yeah, true. We'd love to be there this time, you know.
Evan is talking about Alaska. And earlier, Jatin, you were talking about going to Peru, going to the jungles, learning from nature, learning from people. Something that we learned so much from the people in Alaska. Mm-hmm. And that ties in so beautifully with the theme of this Master Spotlight, from the theme of what we do at Dare to Scale. It's that courage in people, is the resilience, is the resourcefulness to survive harsh environments.
True.
In many ways, an entrepreneur's environment is fairly harsh.
True.
And people in Alaska, despite all the struggles, despite all the harsh reality of living in the wilderness as it is, what you really learn from them is the warmth that they still hold.
Oh, yes. Very true. Very true.
The love and acceptance and the warmth that they hold, because it is that humbling aspect of nature that probably is just ingrained in them. So I see where you're coming from when you say you want to go to Peru and just see what happens over there. It's a world that is unknown to us.
True. True, true, true. Yeah, and there is, I mean, the beauty about in meeting those people is always, they don't have any, you know, preconceived notions about you. They will just open their arms and welcome you. So, which is what I look forward to all the time. You know, it's just simple, honest, and no masks on. So, you know, that's what it is.
Love it.
And I'll just extend this part is that we do a lot of that in the corporate life, which it takes a while to peel off those layers and just be yourself as an entrepreneur as well. So if I look back and connect the dots again, it's the same thing. You know, I would love to go back to nature. It's all nature. It's all clean. And as an entrepreneur, you are actually more and more getting pure about yourself.
Brilliant. And on that note, let's continue talking about the courage, the daring in us. Mm-hmm. We would like to hear, as do our listeners, your I dare to statement.
And I'm not very typical in that sense. I think most of us, when we are, you know, growing up, is all of us have this, you know, crazy wild dreams as children. And when you say, okay, I want to do this, I want to do that, generally we are told, okay, shut up and just focus on your studies and go get a job, be secure, take care of your family, and that's about it. So I've done that. I've been there. I've done that. And then I said, to hell with it. I will go back to my dreams. So it took me a longer time than what I wanted it to be, but here I am nonetheless. So my dare to is very simple. I dare to dream now and go for it. So that's where I am, period.
I dare to dream. It's so easy to just say it and so completely believable when we are actually looking at you when you say this. There is such strong belief and conviction in that. That's simple as it sounds. And as you very rightly said, we were talking about this before we actually started the recording, is you find complexity in the simplest of things. And your very simple I dare to statement says it all.
True. Took me a while to get through this, to define this actually. So yeah.
Yeah, like Wasser regularly says, the hardest thing is to acknowledge and actually say it out loud.
True.
Because a lot of us have these dreams and we keep them hidden. But to have it out there is just absolutely amazing. You know, like in the room, I mean, for me, it was daring to be authentic. Yeah. Again, it's that corporate life where you're worrying about how the pecking order works and stuff like that. Being authentic is actually quite a challenge for me.
Yeah, and we had to unmask ourselves quite a bit after being an entrepreneur. So that's what, you know, so yeah.
So what's next for Jatin?
Two things. From a business perspective, we are looking at, you know, bringing in solutions which are easy and acceptable in the market for helping a lot more people than we have done so far. More importantly, we want to add value to people's life. So that's something we are focusing on. It's just not just a technology that we are looking at. We're looking at solutions, more importantly. So that's something we are focusing. Of course, we're talking about indoor environment here. How well can we improve our solutions in the long run is what we're looking at. More importantly, that's one. Second, as a person, there are things that I've already mentioned. I want to be just myself and make sure that everybody around me is always happy. And more importantly, if I have made somebody happy for the day, I think I've added value in his or her life. So that's what I want to just focus on, in addition to just doing my part of giving back and stuff. But more importantly, if people around me, and if I'm around myself, more importantly, I want to just be happy with myself. That I look back at the day and say, okay, I've done something for today, for myself and for people around me, and for the business and for my customers. So it's just being myself. That's it.
Fantastic. Oh, what a sharing. I think that totally is applause worthy. Thank you for that. That is superb. Jatin, it doesn't matter where and when we all are able to jump in a plane. We're, and as I'm sure our listeners are, we're looking forward to bumping into you either in Peru or in Norway and share that Aurora or the jungle experience with you. In the meantime, while we're still on the ground, I know there are people who will want to get in touch with you just to say hello. Which is the best way to get in touch with you, Jatin?
Two places. Either you can go to our website and connect through that, or more importantly, LinkedIn. So our website is www.au-pure.com. And my LinkedIn is just look for Jatin Sachdeva, you'll get it.
Brilliant. We will be posting the website link and the links to Jatin's LinkedIn profile on the show notes. So watch out for that. Evan, over to you.
Jatin, it has been an absolute pleasure. Just delightful conversation with you. Obviously, wish you all the very, very best. And like we sort of say, will this help me travel? And yeah, we'll see you on the other side, the beaches of the world.
Of course. And I love that statement when you mentioned it last time as well. Will this help me travel? And I actually started thinking about it last few months now. So this is a very, very helpful statement. And I did get my answers through that actually. So thanks a lot for that as well. And, you know, thanks a lot for asking me questions which I could answer myself, which I've never asked myself in many cases. So it did help.
Glad it did, because I know these are some of the questions that most people don't ask themselves. And that's why this conversation is not just enlightening for you, it's just enlightening for us, even when we are asking these questions. And every time we ask this question to a new guest, the responses that come out are such, those onion layers, as I keep saying, they keep peeling, and there's a fresher perspective that always comes to light.
True. True. Thanks for that.
Jatin? Thank you so much again for appearing on the show, being our guest of the Master Spotlight.
I appreciate it.
Hey, hey, hey. Thanks for joining us and listening right to the end.
Head on over to daretoscale.fm to subscribe and access show notes and transcriptions.
Oh, Oh, also, did you know that we have a Facebook page for our podcast listeners? Come join the conversations at daretoscale.fm/Facebook.
Absolutely. Oh, and also remember to give us a 5-star review so other entrepreneurs can find this podcast like you and get value to scale forward their business.
Fabulous. We will see you at our next show. Bye for now.
Bye.